This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne. The U.S. Supreme Court hears arguments today in a case that tests the constitutionality of a five-year-old federal law. It ensures that state prisons receiving federal funds accommodate the religious practices of all prisoners wherever possible. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
This is the second time that Congress has tried to legislate a higher level of tolerance by state and local governments for a broad array of religious practices. The first try was declared unconstitutional by the Supreme Court in 1997. So this time, Congress linked its effort specifically to its spending authority. The law applies only to institutions that receive federal funds. And the part of the law at issue today requires federally funded state prisons to provide a special justification when they impose restrictions on the ability of inmates to practice their religion. The law has spawned dozens of challenges from Jewish prisoners who are denied access to kosher meals, from Muslim prisoners who are denied access to such things as prayer rugs, and in this case, from several prisoners who practice less well-known religions, including a Wiccan, a Satanist, and an ordained minister of the Christian Identity Church. The prisoners claim that Ohio correctional officials have refused to let them buy religious texts, have refused to let them display religious symbols, and have refused to let them meet together for religious services. And that, say the prisoners, is a violation of the federal law. Specifically, the law bars state-run institutions that receive federal money from imposing burdens on religious practices unless the state can show some compelling need for the restriction and can show that it's narrowly tailored. Ohio says that the federal law is unconstitutional because it gives special treatment to religion. The state notes that the prisoners have violent backgrounds, that many have documented affiliations with prison gangs, and have been involved in racially motivated killings and assaults. Therefore, the state argues, decisions on what magazines and books should be permitted, what symbols can be displayed, and what meetings permitted should be left to the discretion of prison officials, just as other safety decisions are left to prison officials. Ohio Solicitor General Douglas Cole.
Inside prison walls, gang members get together and self-identify as a particular religion and then use the services as a means of facilitating their gang activities, a way to communicate with each other.
But defenders of the federal law reply that if that is true, the prisoners would have no case because safety is precisely the kind of legitimate, compelling state interest that justifies denying religious accommodation under the statute. Ohio State Law Professor David Goldberger represents the prisoners.
Certainly, as incendiary as those allegations are, if they can be proven, then our clients don't get any religious accommodation. If these people are up to bad things, then they're not protected by the statute.
Ohio counters that making an individualized judgment under the federal law's high standard takes too much time and is too difficult. But the defenders of the federal law say the reason it was needed in the first place is that prison officials routinely favor mainstream religions and discriminate against minority religions. David Goldberger.
Our view is that the religion clauses protect everybody.
Supporting the prisoners in this case, the Bush administration says that if Ohio finds the federal regimen of non-discrimination too onerous, the state's proper recourse is to turn down federal funds for the prison system, not to claim that it can take the funds without strings attached. The state of Ohio, however, joined by eight other states, says Congress has exceeded its authority. Ohio notes that the First Amendment says that Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion. But, the state contends, that does not mean that the states are similarly circumscribed. And in any event, says the state's Douglas Cole, Congress has done exactly what it's forbidden to do. It has passed a law that favors religion.
If you look at the prison environment where prisoners don't have many rights, and you say to those prisoners, hey, I can tell you one way that you can get out from underneath these regulations, and that is if you become, quote, religious. That seems to create a powerful incentive to get religion, if you will.
Defenders of the law say that argument makes no sense, that using that rationale, Congress would not be able to do anything to facilitate the free exercise of religion, that it would not be able to legislate religious exceptions to the draft, or pay for chaplains in the military, or grant religious exceptions in the tax code. Critics label as radical the state's other argument, that the national government cannot interfere with the state's sovereign authority to make religious choices. That argument, say the critics, flies directly in the face of the 14th Amendment, adopted after the Civil War, which applied most of the provisions of the Bill of Rights to the states and gave Congress the power to prevent states from favoring one religion over another. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.